It's Monday, April 25th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Everyone got a great show lined up for you, and a little bit of a late start to the show, but lots of stuff to talk about tonight. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website at Geek News Central. We want to give a warm welcome to all of the Ohana, all the longtime listeners of the show. Thanks for being part of the family. And of course, if you're new to the Ohana here, hey, thanks for joining the show. And the main thing we want you to do as being part of the Ohana is we want you to get over to the website. We want you to get subscribed to the show. It's real easy. You just go over to geeknewscentral.com. You basically check out the website. In the second column of the website, you're going to find an orange block that says subscribe. You're going to find links there to RSS feeds, to Zune Marketplace, to iTunes, and you can subscribe to the audio or video feed. Of course, you can sign up for our morning tech show. We'll talk about that here in a second. And of course, you can sign up to get subscribed to the Gadget Professor. And real excited. We've got show number 5 of the Gadget Professor online today. So definitely check that out. Don is our fantastic host there. Show numbers are on the way up. And I'm excited about his show, and I know that the feedback he's been getting is great as well. So, you know, one thing that you can do if you want to send a comment over to Don, and this is kind of a Don does his own show. I advise him a little bit, but I don't hold his hand. He does his own full show. So you're going to want to reach out to him if you like what he's doing. You can reach out to the Gadget Professor at gmail.com is the email address for his show. And you can follow him on Twitter at Gadget Professor, again on Twitter. So definitely check out Don's show. And hopefully we're going to have some more shows launching here soon. Sent a couple emails off to some individuals today that had basically requested for some additional, or actually yesterday, to ask for some additional information. So hopefully they'll be getting back to us soon. Well, one thing you want to do, too, is the newsletter is really my way of getting in your hands the complete show notes from every show. So what I do immediately following the show, when I post the blog post that contains all the links to all the media, I also basically take that same data set and I send it to the newsletter. The newsletter basically is a one-way newsletter. It's not where you're going to get chit-chat back and forth. It's not like a forum. And I'm going to send that over to you, and you're going to be able to have the link to the show. You're going to have all the links right there in your email inbox. You'll be able to get it first thing in the morning when you wake up, because this show comes out Tuesday morning, very, very early. And make sure you got your mobile devices set up to sync. Sync the show up on your mobile device. That way you can consume it on the go. You don't have to be sitting in front of the computer to consume the show. But tonight we're up on Ustream, and we're also up on our Flash Media server from Amazon. And what really kicked my butt here at the beginning of the show was I had been messing around with some stuff over the past couple of days and had the configuration files switched. So I used the laptop that's down on the floor. I was using that to push to Amazon. But tonight I had this set up on Amazon and already had the stream running. And one thing I've learned about the Amazon stream is once it's up, you don't shut her down. You let her rock and roll. And so I had to dig out the configuration file and get it updated on the laptop. But we're up on Ustream, and we are, of course, up on live.geeknewscentral.com as well. So definitely feel free to get over there. And I'm up on chat in both sections. So no matter where you're watching live, you can I'll be able to kind of follow along what you guys are saying. Hey, of course, this show is simulcast post show on both the Roku and Boxy. So we're on the Tech Podcast and Blueberry channel on the Roku and on Boxy as well. So if you want to watch at the comfort of your living room, kick back and your lazy boy, pick up a Roku box at Roku.com. You know, I think they start at $59, and you'll be able to watch us on your big flat screen or whatever type of television you're using. So definitely check out the show on those devices as well. Hey, if you've got comments on today's show, we definitely want you to reach out to us. And you can do that by calling our show hotline at 619-342-7365. Again, at 619-342-7365. And we did have some calls that came into the hotline, and we'll be playing those at the end of the show. So try to keep within our time constraints as usual and still get the listener comments and emails in. If you've got comments on the show that you want to email me, you can email me at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. And really, that is the quickest way to get comments into the show and provide feedback. But no matter what, we play all comments and all voicemails that come in. And sometimes we may have to spread it into a secondary show, but I do get them all played back for those of you that are at the end of the show, for those of you that are tied in here. Okay. Let's take take care of a few bills. And I want to thank our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. You know, really, GoDaddy is the absolute best place to find domain names, hosting accounts, email services, websites set up for search engines, get SSL and security certificates. You can even become a reseller over there and make money that way too. Now, I'm going to be giving all of you that are thinking about getting a hosting account a little bit of a hint. I can't announce the code yet, but starting May 1st, which is right around the corner, I'm going to have a special that is going to be able to get you the deluxe package that they have here for economy prices. So just hold your horses. You can wait a few days, and I'm going to get you this deluxe hosting package for economy prices. And I got a special promo code for you. I can't release it yet. They've sworn me to secrecy until May 1st. But if you can't wait, I can get you this ultimate $14.99 a month plan at 20% off for a 1 year. You're signing up for a year by using the promo code Todd20. So Todd20 will get you 20% off again on that 1 year plan, bringing the price really way below $100 for a single year of great hosting with unlimited bandwidth. And over at GoDaddy.com. Of course, got great domain names over there as well. And one thing that you want to do, and let's see if I can make this happen here without, let's see, I'm trying to press too many buttons at one time. And so if you visit GoDaddy.com and use my promo codes, you really can find all of them at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy is where all my codes are at. And believe me, I have some of the best in the space, and you'll save a lot of cash by picking up a domain name or a hosting account or any of their other services. Geek5 will save you 15%. Todd20 will save you 20%. Todd will save you 10%. ComSale will get you $7.99 on .com renewals. ComSale 2 will get you $7.49 .coms on brand new purchases. Geek will get you $5 off on orders $30 or more. Central will get you $10 off. So it goes on and on and on. If you go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, and you'll find all my promo codes. Thanks for supporting our sponsor, GoDaddy, here at Geek News Central. It's greatly appreciated. And anyway, that's it. Hey, let's go ahead and move on here. Hey, we hit a milestone a couple of days ago. We've been representing at Raw Voice over 8,000 podcasters for a while, but it's been a combination of Travelcast Network, ProMed Network, Tech Podcast, and Blueberry. And a couple of days ago, Blueberry.com went over 8,000 podcasters that we're working with over there. So we're very excited to hit that milestone, and we look forward to really hitting 9,000 within the next 2 to 3 months, we've seen a dramatic increase as people are using our PowerPress podcast plugin with WordPress. We've seen a great number of shows coming on board. One thing I'm doing is I'm starting the hunt now for what I would call a select pool of shows. And these are going to be shows that I'm going to kind of handpick. And we've got something that we're building that we want to bring on board, a hand-selected number of shows to debut. And I'm really excited about being able to bring this to market. And all I'm really saying right now is we are recruiting content creators. So if you are a content creator and you have what I would be between a no lower than a top 50 show. So now if you're in that first 50 shows in your category in iTunes, in other words, you're in the top 50 on iTunes in your specific category, we want to hear from you. And we're going to go after a number of shows in those top 50 categories, and our top 50 in each of the categories. And we're going to be putting them in a kind of, well, I can't say anything more, but got a special deal. We're working with looking for some content creators. So reach out to me and be willing to kind of clue you in on the details after we check you out and validate your show. Enough on the podcast stuff, but let's just talk a little bit about Saturday Morning Tech Show. We'll have one of those on Saturday. So hope you'll join me here at 9 a.m. Pacific or 12 noon Eastern. And I have a couple of guests on, and we will talk tech for an hour, hour and a half, and basically kind of go over some of the things that have been going on in the space. I'll have them dialed in here on Skype. I'm the Skype-a-source, and we will just have a little bit of a roundtable and have fun. I have to tell a little story, and I have to kind of be quiet because in the studio here, the sliding glass door is open. The screen, of course, is shut, and then around the corner is the window to my bedroom. And my wife, I basically got ready to do the show a little late tonight, and I jumped in the shower, and I got out of the shower and was drying off, and she's she came in, and she's holding her iPad, and she says, I want one of these. And I'm thinking, she doesn't get excited about too much stuff. She found for the very first, and my wife's Japanese, don't take this the wrong way, she was amazed that she could register her own star through the International Star Registry for only $20. She was quite serious, so I'm being quite quiet. Oh, I love her to death, but oh my goodness. It was just too funny. So I think I'm going to be buying my lovely wife a star on the International Star Registry. So, okay, it's all good. So I hope if she listens to this, I'm dead meat. I really, really am. So I'm trying to be a little bit quiet. Okay, let's go ahead and get into, got a lot of content for you tonight. And before we do, I want to, of course, introduce you to GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting is a great, great product, and it's a product that I use every day, and you can hold meetings right on your computer screen, and it's simply to get started with a meeting by a single click, and it really is quite that easy. I got it right down here in the taskbar. All I got to do is reach up, grab it, right click. It says start a meeting, and it basically starts up and goes. If the person I'm meeting with has never used the application before, I tell them, go over to GoToMeeting.com, and there's a little button on here. It says join a meeting, and they just click join a meeting, and it basically will launch the service and put in the meeting code. And in about 30 seconds, they're meeting with me. So this is a great way to do collaborative work, do business plans. It's been working great, and you can try it for free for 30 days. So all you got to do is go over to GoToMeeting.com, click on the orange try it free button. That's going to bring you to a page. It's going to ask for some very basic info here. And my internet is actually slow. So why is that taking so long? Anyway, takes you onto this page here, and basically put your name, your email address, your promo code and put in the promo code podcast and hit continue. And you got to agree to the terms of service, and that will get you up and running, get you a free 30-day trial. So again, you go to meeting.com, and then you click the try it free button and use the promo code podcast. Give it a try. Let me know what you think. And hey, for 30 days, it's on me, right? So you can't despair. So if you're a fan of the show and you're a supporter of the show, go to meeting.com, try it free, use the promo code podcast. Okay. All right. Lots of stuff here to talk about tonight. Tech side. Matter of fact, when I had went through and done my initial blast of stuff to talk about tonight, I was like, oh man, I have got way too much stuff. So what I'm going to do is I have pared it down already. I want to stay in the time constraints. But one thing I've been finding here recently is, you know, I'm doing all kinds of cool initiatives, or, you know, there's some new things we're starting business-wise. And, you know, the hardest thing right now is to find a domain name. I mean, and I don't want to go back to, this is not a GoDaddy thing. This is truly a serious topic. And it kind of brought it to home tonight. You know, I was looking for a specific domain name, and I was, you know, kind of doing some Google searches. And I found this article over at AVC. This is AVC.com. And he's got a great article about finding and buying a domain, or buying a domain name. And really, it's critical. Now, when we were hunting for Q2, or basically something to that effect for our soon-to-launch video-on-demand service, what we really found was we had a heck of a time finding the domain name that would work. And we used hundreds of different domain annotations, and we finally settled on this. And one thing that the guy over here at AVC.com says is now they're recommending to the companies that they fund. In other words, these are companies that actually raise a round of money with them, is to use at least $50,000 of that financing round to buy a good domain. Now, a few years ago, they only recommended that companies would spend $10,000 or less. But now, the domain market has gotten so tight that, now they're telling them $50,000. So, one thing that I have struggled with is, and I want to ask you guys this, and I want your feedback, of course, and let me turn this advertisement off that's on the website, is that, do you feel that .coms are as important these days as they used to be? Are you more willing to go to a .tv, a .info, a .me, a .biz, .net, .org, or is .com still the mainstay of, you know, when you're looking for a domain, or for, you know, looking for something, that is kind of where you go first? And, or have you gotten over the .com requirement? And frankly, I'm still pretty hardcore on the .com requirement. I don't buy many non-.com domains. Now, like geeknewscentral.net, .biz.org, I've got all those. And the critical ones that run our business, I've got all annotations of. But not... And recently, it's been harder and harder and harder. So, what are you guys doing? Love to hear your feedback on that. You can email me, of course, here at the show, or you can Twitter me at Geek News as well. One thing I always like to see is what companies are doing to kind of support their employees. And Google is, of course, a world-class organization. People go through massive headaches and doing the interview process to get a job over there. That once they're hired, they have these great perks. And there's a pretty cool article, and it's basically on the Google.com hosted news site where there's actually an AP article that was done about their, basically it's a garage that they have. And what's going on there is that Google now has this like workspace, and they call it a high-tech workshop that's really a tinkerer's paradise. And they're saying workers escape from the computer screens and office chairs to weld, drill, and saw on expensive machinery that they would not find at Home Depot. And they say, go on to say in this article, besides building contraptions with a clear purpose, employees use the shops for fun. They do make holiday decorations, build cabinets for their homes, and sometimes dream big and work on like pedal powered airplanes and that type of stuff. So I read this. I was like, that has got to be cool. But the question is, how does, you know, you're working your 40-hour work week or 60 or 80 or 100 or how many hours you're putting in, is this like a after-hours place? Do they actually let people down and use 20% of their time to go down and build stuff? Pretty cool stuff. And, you know, just to think that they've got a garage area they can work in and build stuff, and it's pretty cool. I think that is probably one of the most cool perks I've heard in a long time. Does your business or your job, or do you have cool perks at your place of employment? If you do, I'd love to hear what your coolest perk is at your place of employment. All right, I read this article today on Extreme Tech that when I first read it, I thought it was, I made sure it didn't say April 1st on the title of the article, but listen to this. Boost your brain power with a 9-volt battery and some wet sponges. Now, this sounds to me like some trick that you would do as a kid. You'd get a 9-volt battery, hook some wires up to it, you know, maybe put embed them in a sponge. You wet the sponge and tell one of your buddies, hey, come on, grab the sponge. But it seems, according to extremetech.com, with the help of a 9-volt battery, a wire, yes, crocodile clips, and wet sponges, you apparently can increase. Now, please do not try this at home, all right? Please don't do this, okay? But apparently, according to this article, you can return your brain to its younger and more malleable and learning receptive state. The technique, which is lumbered with the fantasy and slightly terrifying name of transcranial direct current stimulation, TDCS, is similar to deep brain stimulation, DBS, but it doesn't involve complex neurosurgery. TCDS runs a very small current, just 2 milliamps, into brain tissue just beneath your scalp. It's non-invasive and seemingly quite safe. By pumping electrons into the brain, neurons move a few millivolts toward depolarization, which makes them more sensitive and thus reducing the time it takes signals to travel across your nervous system. Now, they've been testing this on rats and a few human subjects, but here's what's going to blow you away even bigger. This was done by the University of Arizona, and it was funded by DARPA. They want to know if soldiers can be supercharged, and this creepy answer is yes. Now, they can be reversed, making you more stupid. If electrons are drawn out of the neocortex, the neutrons become less sensitive, reducing the subject's reaction time and ability to learn. Huh. What do you guys think about that? How much smarter will it make me? That's the question. What is the risk? 2 and 3, if it really works, boy, when, you know, you get a little cloudy, can't remember someone's name, you know, you don't feel like you're firing on all cylinders, you just go get yourself a little 9-volt battery and you poke yourself in the forehead. yeah. Now, didn't they used to do like this in the old days? They used to do shock treatment on people to try to do cure them from all kinds of ailments, mental illness, and everything else like that. I just, this is real deal. This is the real deal. But anyway, boost your brain power with a 9, so that with that 9-volt battery you've got up in your fire extinguisher, please don't get it out, okay? Wow. That's all I can say. Now, imagine you're driving down the highway, there's places that you know that you can speed a little bit. You go over the speed limit. You know, you get the area where you never see a police officer with a radar gun. You know, we all know those are areas where you've never seen a, you know, your local men in blue, right? And one day you're on that same road and bam, there's your local man in blue. He's got a radar gun and he's got you. And you're, of course, over the speed limit. And you pull over and you're like, wow, I never saw you here before. As he writes you a ticket. Well, and apparently, TomTom, yes, TomTom, the GPS manufacturer, basically, they have given Dutch police data from its products to nail motorists for speeding. Wow. But apparently, TomTom was sharing users' driving habits with Dutch police. Huh. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? TomTom's apologizing. Says, understandably, many of their customers are not happy. They go on to say, we will therefore include in our license terms for this type of use in the future. So if you go out and buy a TomTom, make sure you read the license agreement, because they could be selling your driving activity back to your local law enforcement. Wouldn't that just aggravate you? I would lose my mind. I really, really would. Hey, over the last couple of shows, what I've been doing is I have been playing some videos that I have found. And if my bandwidth is going to cooperate tonight, I've got one for you. And it's about 3 minutes, but I don't want to play the whole thing. But it's entitled, this, I found this over on universetoday.com. It's entitled, The Many Colors and Wavelengths of the Andromeda Galaxy. And I'll go ahead and bring this up on the screen and I'll play this for you. And we'll spend a few minutes. And I think it's pretty cool. I'll go about halfway through and then I'll bring it back out. But again, this is a video put together by the European Space Agency, I believe. And let's see here. So anyway, I just thought this was a cool video that they put together. And let's see if I can get this stopped here. But it really was kind of a cool video that they put together. And, you know, Andromeda is a beautiful galaxy to see with your own eyes. And, but in this, you know, that video that they've done, ESA's fleet of telescopes have put together pretty cool, you know, it's basically using different wavelengths that they use in the telescopes to make this pretty cool video. So I have this link up in the show notes for you to check out. And of course, those of you that are listening in, and weren't able to watch, I'll have it up there and starred for you to check out. Hey, moving on here. The Messenger spacecraft has found the X. X marks a spot. This is pretty cool. They found an alphabet X on the surface. And so, yes, if you're going to be traveling to Mercury anytime soon, I would start digging right there, okay, right where X marks a spot. So I am sure the conspiracy theorists will have fun with this one. But anyway, there is a buried treasure there on Mercury for us to check out once we make it there in the next millennium. Hey, NASA today was talking about the Voyager. And, you know, they've been talking about the twin Voyagers reaching the edge of the solar system. And they feel that they're very, very, very close. And they had a big press conference today. But really, today is, not today, but just a few days ago, was, I believe, the 40th. Seriously, this is 72, 82, 92. Yeah, they launched in 1972. And so it's, you know, they've been out there doing their thing, heading outbound. And so after 30 years after leaving Earth's, gravity, they've been on, Voyager is still moving. Both of the twin Voyagers are on their way outbound. So I'll have that link up for you in the show notes. A lot of space news here. Of course, tomorrow is the last launch of the Endeavour space shuttle. And the folks over at space.com have some pretty cool pictures of the construction of Endeavour. It actually shows it being put together. So I'll have that up for you as well to check out. And here's some facts for you on Endeavour. It's the youngest shuttle in the family of space shuttles. It was named by students, And Endeavor was sort of built on the cheap. Endeavor debuted with a fair amount of new gear when it was put together, but it was the first shuttle to use a drag parachute during landing, and it featured some advanced avionics systems for its time. And much of the orbiter was built from spare parts. It helped save the Hubble Space Telescope in the 90s. Endeavor brought the International Space Station into being, so they brought up STS and mission STS-88. The mission took the first American component to the station, and on Endeavor's second flight, the STS-47 mission back in 1992, it broke new ground. Its crew featured the first African-American woman to fly in space and the shuttle's first Japanese astronaut, Mamoru Maru, and is the first married couple to fly in the same space mission as well. So that was Mark Lee and Jan Davis. But lots of firsts by Endeavor, and tomorrow is its last day. Shuttle is due to launch. Let's see here. When is it supposed to punch out? It's supposed to go... Dun, 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 dun. What time? It doesn't say. I have to get the time for you, but I have that in the show notes. But they're saying 700,000 people are going to watch Endeavor take off tomorrow. I believe the president is going to be in attendance as well. How many of you use Qik, Qik.com? If you use Qik, there's a new Qik Video Connect, and it's basically an app for Android. And they've also updated the Qik iPhone app. So if you are a Qik user, definitely get your apps updated or uploaded onto your Android device. So they've got some information on it on the Qik blog. I have that linked up for you in the show notes. Hey, as well, Tungle. You know, and Tungle is a service that makes it easy to schedule appointments. Has been bought by RIM. RIM needs to expand their business because they're about ready to announce their earnings. Matter of fact, they got hammered the stock market today. We'll talk about some other companies announce earnings a little later in the show. But Tungle has been bought by RIM, so congratulations to them. No idea what price, but this is a good pickup by them. Hey, you know all those domains that the U.S. government seized in all the supposed intellectual property seizures? Well, all those sites now have an anti-piracy PSA ad on it, a YouTube video that's a minute and 16 seconds. I'm not going to play that for you. But 65 of the deceased domains have been now become the property of the government, and they're running the anti-piracy PSA announcement as when people are going to those sites to try to find what they used to have on it. Now, you would think Russia, with all the things going on in Russia, and with how they're kind of loosey-goosey on stuff, would not be raiding a lot of server farms. But it appears in Ukraine, there has been the seizure of Russia's largest adult site, the largest peer-to-peer adult site. And over 700,000 people from Ukraine were actually members of that specific site. But they've been taken down for specifically... violating some Ukrainian rules, but it's the first time a adult website like this has been taken down in the Ukraine. Now, they've had some other peer-to-peer sites in the past taken down, but kind of an interesting move. Now, Lithuania has a popular torrent tracker called Link-O-Manjai. Has been basically selected to be the primary peer-to-peer site for launching some movies, and they're actually working with independent film creators in Lithuania to launch some movies that have been recorded there. So it's kind of an interesting way for them to get the word out on some movies, or basically distribute movies out of that country. All right, moving into more techie stuff here. Windows 8, boy, they're just all kinds of stuff leaking about Windows 8. People are doing all kinds of screenshots and stuff. But now on Windows 8, you're going to be able to take your settings into the cloud. So, you know, of course, Microsoft is pushing everything to the cloud, Office to the cloud, and so forth. But some beta testers have found settings called roaming options in the user account settings in Windows 8. And basically, these settings would be sent to the cloud and would be retrievable on a friend's computer or another device. So now you go over to someone's house. Now, I don't know why you would download your settings onto someone else's computer. Maybe you just want to do it across multiple computers of your own. But you can do personalization settings, accessibility, language, application settings, wireless settings, and even credentials, which is kind of wild as well. You can do an enable roaming on paid networks. In other words, if you're like at an internet cafe, and also if you're on a low bandwidth situation. Now, it's kind of scary to think about downloading your profile to an internet cafe, but this is a feature that's going to be coming to Windows 8. Okay. Great article talking about the internet of yesteryear. And, you know, if you think about where we're at today and how things have changed, you know, in the early years, let's talk about from the 70s to the 90s. And, you know, I first got involved dialing into bulletin boards in 1978. I was actually a little late to the scene. So it'd have been about 88, I guess, maybe. I had a Commodore Colt with a 2400 baud modem. Thought I was big to do. I had a 65 meg RLL hard drive. And boy, I just didn't know what to do with myself dialing into bulletin boards. And of course, shortly thereafter, I launched my own BBS, and it ran for years up until, matter of fact, the year I retired from the Navy, it ran online in the later years and had millions of people that had dialed into it and actually came into it via the internet. And at one time, I believe I had 8 dial-in lines when I was living in Maryland before we went internet only. But in the 70s and 90s, you know, you had to pay these expensive rates to get online, and CompuServe, you'd spend, you know, you could spend $30 an hour to be on CompuServe. Now, from the 90s until just about 2000, you know, most of us were on dial-up. Some of us had high-speed internet connection. You had to fight your way in on modem pools. And sometimes you couldn't get on the net because it was, you know, peak hours. I know I'd at least you leave my stuff dialed up and then, beat the rush into my ISP. But now we've got broadband everywhere. We got broadband coming out of our ears. As a matter of fact, I think about the first time I went to CES to now. So what's going to happen? Here we are. We've come this long way. And really, since if I look at just my time in the, you know, in the mid 80s until now, you know, where are we going to be at in 2020? You know, what's going to be the thing that's really going to change? So, where do you know, with all the stuff going on with bandwidth caps and everything that isn't going on play right now, you know, where are we going to be? Where do you guys think we're going to be by 2020? Are we all going to laugh about, you know, here we are in 2011, we're going to laugh about, boys, those were the old days. And you remember when we were, you know, we could only get 1.5 meg down with our phone on, you know, great to connection days. Are we just going to be so connected by then, it's just going to be second nature? You know, what's going to happen over the next 10 years? Has any of you looked at the crystal ball? And I really haven't thought about it. I'm too, you know, wrapped up in what's going on today. But this great article actually talks about, you know, used to be internet was not everywhere, and now it's almost virtually everywhere, which is cool. So one place it still isn't is in most airplanes. So that's, from that standpoint, it's good, but you get a break from it. But how many of you go into withdrawals when you can't access your email? All right, now, fellas and ladies, this next article is over on Ogizmo, and I got to show this to you. This is not super techie, but this is one of those products that makes you scratch your head a little bit. And I want you to pay attention to this. For those of you listening, what I'm showing you is called the hand truck shovel. And you think, wow, what are you going to use that when you go to the beach and you're digging stuff with your kids to make sandcastles or something? And what this is, it's got a, it looks like one of your kids' toys. It's got a little scooper on the end of it. And you put your hand inside this thing, and it's on a swivel. Basically, what this is a pooper scooper. And so if you're cleaning up your dog's, your dog's doo-doo, this device is supposedly to be utilized for that. But I'm looking at this thing, and when I look at it, I'm like, there's no way I would use this thing, because I'm looking at my hand position where this thing's close to the scoop. There could be some inadvertent, how should we say it, contact, skin on doo-doo contact with this device. And, you know, I don't know if I could justify using this plastic. First of all, you got to wash this thing too. At $18, maybe I'll buy it for my kids to play at the beach, but no, it's not going to be used for the intended purpose that they're wanting it to be. But it's one of those gizmos that some of you may be inclined to buy. Now, here's the gizmo I want of the day. It's called a dual link sync cable, handles two Apple devices at the same time. So basically, you plug into your USB port on your Mac or your PC, and you got a double dongle there so that you can, and I don't know if it's got double USB plugins or not. No, it's got a custom USB hub. So both devices can actually sync with iTunes at the same time. Whoa, that's cool. Cable Jives lets you connect two iOS devices to a single USB port, and they will also charge. I don't know if that would be advisable. Of course, it's going to take twice as long to charge. But for, oops, I didn't bring this article up. I'm sorry. Let me bring this up. $25.95 is the cost of the cable. But I'm always about being able to minimize stuff. And this looks like the cat's meow from a product standpoint. But it's available via over at CableJive, CableJive.com. And it's called Dual Link. So I have this up in the show notes for you to check out. You know, high-speed cameras, you know, they're usually very expensive. And anytime you want to do any type of slow motion stuff, you know, for those of us that can't afford a 25,000 frame per second camera, we have to, you know, kind of use what we have and then try to, you know, condense the video as much as we can. But there's a new camera out called the TS3 Sine Compact High-Speed Camera. It records at 720p at 720 frames per second. And it's one of the first relatively low-cost high-speed camera. And it can be reduced if you reduce the actual image size. Excuse me, it can scale all the way up to 20,000 frames per second. And what the best part of it is, it's a dream shattering price. $29,000. So, you know, it's not cheap. So it's still, you know, out of the range of 99.9%. I was reading through, and I saw a $2,000 mark on the page initially when I first read the article. I thought, oh wow, high speed camera for $2,000. And I, you know, I'm looking at the specs, I'm reading through this thing, and then I get to that wasn't $2,000 was the accessory. The actual price for the camera was $29,000, and I was like, wow. $29,000. That's just insane. Truly insane on the price. But yeah, if you want high speed, that's the price you got to pay for it. Well, over on makingwindowseasy.com, Windows 8 leaks continue to rock and roll here. And so I was going to bring up some of the images for you so you could actually see it. But let me roll this up here. Really nothing too new from a desktop standpoint. It looks pretty standard as you're rolling through it. They got some, you know, it just looks like almost like Windows 7. It doesn't look too much different than from Windows 8. But, you know, everyone seems to be pretty excited about this particular operating system and coming out. But so far, I'm not seeing anything that's making me jump up and down very much. But this particular build, I guess, hasn't made it out too far. But I don't know. I haven't seen anything new here. But everyone's all excited about Windows 8. And, you know, we'll see where Windows is betting a lot of money on this release. We'll see how they do. Hey, Google Docs has added image upload to spreadsheets. So if you do any spreadsheets in Google Docs and you want to upload an image into it, you can. That's a first. So they've updated the spreadsheet function to enable image uploads. Very, very cool. Have you ever been the subject of a DMCA takedown notice? Well, there's a good website. It's Chilling Effects. And this is a site that's run in conjunction, I believe, with the EFF. So it's over at Chilling, C-H-I-L-L-I-N-G, chillingeffects.org. And it's an information portal with information about cease and desist, about takedown notices. It's also got a database of people who have sent them. It contains thousands of angry letters from copyright holders. It's got all kinds of information over there and what you can do to protect yourself. Talks about sending and receiving notices, talks about questions about copyright, talks about what some companies have done and how they've written their particular DMCA notices down. So a lot of good information here at chillingeffects.org. Hey, over on Lifehacker, they're running a little bit of a contest. They say, hey, what's the best web video service? And I guess that's a question I want all of you to answer. You know, you guys know that I cut the cord here, and we're living on our Roku box, our Apple TV. We're working off our, what's the other box I have? I'm getting ready to buy an Apple TV, too. I'm going to see how that works. Not an Apple TV, a Google TV. But what are you guys using? What have you guys found out there that you're actually paying for to kind of make the difference of? I know everyone has Hulu. And, you know, that's some of the, you know, that's probably one of the major contenders. But what's the best video services that you're using besides Netflix and so forth? What are you guys using out there? Those of you that have cut the cord to get access to a lot of content. Are you doing peer-to-peer stuff? You guys getting the stuff that you can't find via peer-to-peer sites? I'd love to hear your feedback at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Okay, let's move into the next topic here. And how many of you use Outlook in conjunction with Google Calendar? You knew that you can sync the calendars. The 32-bit version of Office, you've been able to sync for a long time. But now, today, they've announced that the calendar sync now supports the 64-bit version as well. So start syncing your calendar with the 64-bit version of Outlook 2010. There's a new sync version out. It's 0.9.4.1, and you'll be able to sync your calendar across those two. One cloud application, one cloud and one desktop application. Hey, I want to point you out to some articles over at Geek News Central. This is an article that was written by Susabel. She's one of our longtime writers and actually one of our longtime fans here of this show. And she has written an article about locking home wireless down. We talked a little bit on the last show about a group, or actually an individual, that had a gun put in his face. When people came to his home and thought he was a pedophile, it turned out it was a neighbor that had been using his Wi-Fi connection. So Susabel goes into, you know, kind of the history of what she saw in her neighborhood and how she's helping her neighbors lock their wireless systems down. And I think this is something that's pretty wonderful that she's done. Have you talked to any of your neighbors about their open wireless ports, or do you jump on it and use it from time to time? So anyway, I have that link in the show notes for you to check out. Another GNC article. Did you guys know you can build a custom gaming PC at Walmart.com? I was pretty shocked to see this. And this comes at quite a surprise, but one of our contributors, Don, basically is pretty blown away as well. He says, I would have never thought Walmart and iBuyPower would team up to bring a custom PC builder to Walmart.com, but that's exactly what they've done. And Walmart says there's over 10,000 combinations available. Rigs start at $5.99. Of course, you can trick them out all the way up to very expensive models and cooling and everything else. So they've got a builder site that is available. Anyway, I'll have a link up to show notes. And if you are looking to build a new gaming machine, you might be able to do it right through Walmart.com. You won't be able to do this in store, but you'll be able to do it online. For those of you that are Android users, you're going to be very happy. The number of free Android apps outnumber the free of iPhone apps by a huge margin. Number of available applications that are free, it appears to be, let me look here. All right, so number of available applications. I'm looking at the numbers here, the percent. Okay, is it by percentage? All right, what it says is that, oh, there are more free apps available for Google's mobile OS than the iPhone at 134,342 to 121,845. So not much of a split there, but there are more free Android apps by about 13,000 than there are in the Apple App Store. So it tells you that the Android community continues to really move the bar here. And I think it's a serious contention in really for Apple, because I think that, you know, they're going to have their hands full holding Android off. I really, really do. Hey, the Russians launched a Progress cargo spacecraft to the International Space Station. So that's up and away and on the way to the ISS. Great article over on Wired. And this one I could probably spend a lot of time on. But, you know, one thing when I was in the Navy, one thing that we were always, you know, and I, what I did in the Navy, I can't talk about. I won't be able to talk about. Matter of fact, my kids probably will never even find out some of the stuff I did in the Navy. It's just one of those, you know, type of deals. But one thing that we always were careful of is, you know, loose lips sink ships, right? And, you know, you had to pick your friends. You had to pick your topics. You had to pick your conversations wisely. And if you were ever to have a discussion of a nature that would not be normally held in basically in an open space, you had to make sure that the person you were talking to was, you know, the same level to be able to talk what you wanted to talk about. So in other words, basically you didn't want to commit a security violation, because they're pretty, you know, pretty serious about security violations. Well, over on Twitter, there was a gal that was called Priya Morris Era, and her Twitter name, and it's no longer available, was PRIMORISERA. And her, got a helicopter flying over here. She, her bio said that she was involved in air and space missile defense and arms control. She was a rocket scientist and hints of intelligent, well-educated, outspoken, and sarcastic views. So basically, she tried to pass herself off as being someone that was connected. And she was saying some of the, you know, the little keywords and stuff in some of her tweets that were attracting people in the defense space to follow her on Twitter. And basically, what this boils down to is this person wasn't who she said she was, and she was having direct message conversations at a, you know, basically a lot of stuff going on with her account that kind of indicated that there may be more than one person behind the account, direct messaging people overseas, guys that were in, you know, Afghanistan and different places, and basically she, you know, raised the awareness of enough folks that she was called out as something other than what she claimed to be. And now her account is no longer seen on Twitter. I guess her Facebook page is gone. And basically, people got sucked in to talking with this lady. And I hope no one did anything that they weren't supposed to. But she's being chalked up as a social network spy. And what it really was is she was a cute woman. At least that's the pictures that she portrayed to be hers. And who ended up calling her out, believe it or not, was another gal. She says, a bikini appropriates your fake persona and makes boys want to beep you, tweeted some lady in D.C. And she followed up basically calling this gal out and sending people to links of where her pictures were probably pulled off some other website. And so one thing that is interesting here is that she folded up shop. And as soon as the word went out that this account was truly a honeypot, being it was a, you know, a place where someone was trying to get information out of people, kind of a curious development here. But at one time, looking at the screenshots of her profile, she had 1,206 followers. She had over 21,000 tweets, and she had over 800 people following her. So it just goes to show you that the old adage, loose lips sink ships, it becomes even more apparent online as it does anywhere else, you know, in the real world. So be careful who you're talking to out there, those of you in those sensitive positions. Moving into a more lighter topic, one that I love to talk about is copyright. The massive trove of historic jazz recordings that have been turned over to the Institute of Jazz Studies at Rutgers University in Newark. Boy, that was a mouthful. Basically, the university is just completely thrilled with getting these absolutely fantastic 1930 jazz. This 1930s jazz collection has never been heard before, never been published, and they're having a very difficult time because they're worried that all of this stuff is still, there's still holders out there or family members of rights holders that could have a copyright claim. And if they put this stuff up online and make it available for people to listen to or make it available for sale, then they're going to be liable. So they're just scratching their head. They know what to do. They say, got this just pristine collection of jazz music, and they don't publicize it yet. So they're trying to work through the legalities or trying to figure out who certain people are that are on some of these tracks. Only time will tell, but university's worried about getting themselves into a legal entanglement, which is really sad. You think about it. Our copyright laws have gotten to the point where, you know, great treasures like this should be cherished. And I'm a big jazz fan. I'd love to be able to hear some of this stuff. And yet, because of our copyright laws, we're kind of locked out of it at this point. So only time will tell. All right, if you're using Chrome, you'll know that Google patched 27 Chrome bugs, and they've been paying out rewards for people turning in those vulnerabilities. The company paid out $16,500 in bounties to researchers who reported a majority of the bugs, beating the previous payday by several hundred dollars. So Wednesday's 27 patch update fixed 18 issues, rated high, the second most severe ranking in Google scoring, 6 labeled medium, and 3 pegged as low. So if you haven't updated, please do. And if you'll probably be prompted, of course, through the software itself as well. Hey, were you on Verizon with your LTE device, and did you get stuck with not having service for a few days? Well, Verizon's trying to figure out what happened, and they're apologizing to their customers, but a major egg on their face for having a 3-day outage. It's being predicted now that machines, in other words, computers, could achieve human-level intelligence by 2018. You know, while Judgment Day has passed, some people actually went in and started looking at where we're at in the development of computers, and they think that by 2028, and looking at the calendar here, that's not too far away, and really, if you really think about it, the chances are that we will have computers that will be about 90% efficient from a brain perspective, and you know, be able to do all the functions that humans do up to about 90% level. Of course, I think monkeys can do up to about 90% level as well. But I guess I'd rather have a bunch of smart computers that were smart as monkeys than one that wasn't smart at all. But we'll see where this takes us. What do you guys think? Do you think that we will end up with computers that are, boy, what did I do there? Do you think we'll end up with computers that can think for us? And I'd love to hear your feedback. And 619-342-7365 is the voicemail number. Geeknews@gmail.com, of course, is our direct contact. All right, we're already an hour here for the show, but I just wanted to blast through a couple things before we get into our voicemail. The Amazon cloud crash wiped out a bunch of customers' data. There's questions being asked if people are going to be compensated. So, you know, some people got impacted there. I know some people that did. Sadly, that, you know, they didn't hit, some of the folks I know didn't have great backups, so they're really in the hurt locker. There's a new movie going to be coming out called Apollo 18. Yes, there was only 17 Apollo missions, so there's a pretty cool movie that it looked kind of B-rate to me from seeing the preview, but I have the link up in the show notes on that. HP has, of course, been awarded a huge contract by NASA. And HP's been awarded the contract by NASA over $2.5 billion over a four-year period. And HP was reporting that. Hey, have you ever, I think I had a day like this. Have you ever had, I had a pretty short night last night because I had a late recording to do for the folks over at Blog World. But there's some proof out that small areas of the brain go to sleep when we're up too late. I wonder if that's what's going on with me, if a little parts of my brain are shutting down. You ever feel like you kind of get, you're awake, but you're really almost like walking but asleep? You ever get that feeling? I've had that happen to me before where you know, you're going through the motions, but you're like, there's nobody home. But there's been some studies done where people are truly almost like walking. They're awake. They're asleep awake, or however you want to say that. But smaller the brain shut down to rest. Hey, the white iPhone 4 is out. And it's thicker than the black version for whatever reason. We don't know, probably to protect the glass, but that's now available. Also, some announcement that YouTube founders bought Delicious from Yahoo. So Delicious has been saved. We'll see what happens with what they are able to do with that. But that's no word on how much money was spent. You know, they've got quite a bit of cash. You know, I think they got $1.76 billion from Google when YouTube was picked up. Facebook has been shutting down accounts, even if someone's providing a fake email address on a DMCA takedown notice. Big news today on that. Ours Facebook pages got shut down. And they basically called Facebook out and said, hey, you guys got a screwed up process here. So Facebook has responded, but I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. You know, Microsoft's been under Department of Justice oversight for a long time. That has now been, they're no longer being basically watched by the Justice Department. They've done their time in purgatory. And so the Justice Department is allowing them to continue to do business as they feel that they please without oversight. Apple is apparently now testing the iOS 5 with the App Store applications. That's kind of showing up in some people's some logs, which is pretty cool. And those of you that have been without getting on the PlayStation Network, due to the hacker issue, hackers are claiming to have PlayStation users' credit cards. The folks at Sony said no way, they don't have access to it. But apparently, the hackers were purportedly wanting to sell the list of credit cards for up to $100,000. But this hasn't been verified. Sony says there has not been a breach of the credit card data, where the hacker says there has. Microsoft revenues are up 13% to $16.43 billion with earnings of 61 cents a share. I think their actual total profit margin was $5.23 billion as compared to Apple's net income of $5.99. So Apple actually had, from a profit perspective, had more profit than Microsoft did this quarter. Logitech, they've only made $5 million from Google TV. So it makes you wonder there where, you know, how successful this is going to be or not. Samsung has decided to swing back a little harder. They broadened their patent dispute against Apple with lawsuits here in the United States. They already had filed in Korea, so they're not sitting still and fighting back. What else have I got for you? I think that's it so far as stuff that I wanted to really get into tonight. But I do have several voicemails here. I need to get these in work or we're going to run out of time. If I do, I got some emails and to go through as well. So I may play just a couple of these voicemails. We'll get the rest of them on the next show, but we'll go ahead and patch the first one in here and give a listen. So again, if you have comments, 619-342-7365 or geeknews@gmail.com. Here comes the first hotline call.
Hey, Todd, this is Max. I'm one of your longtime listeners from New York.
Hey.
Gotta say, I don't know, I think I'm a little disagreeing with you and the tracking that's the iPod. It's not the only phone that tracks you. Obviously, Android pretty much tracks you also. There's some positive outlooks to this. First of all, it's not doing anything that's, you know, illegal. That's nothing to worry about. But if you are, it's easier to find that person. Or another positive outlook, God forbid something happens to a child. They go missing, you know, they get, you know, taken away or something. I'm not saying that there are ways to triangulate where that child was the last time he or she was out there, but there's a positive spin to it. You can. And it, being that my job is primarily with security, I got to say that, you know, privacy, not really happening here. I mean, we have cameras everywhere. It's very easy to track where you are by the ED pass you might have, little device you put on your car, lets you go through the tolls, that gets charged to your credit card.
Yep.
It's very easy to find out where you are by your charges on your card. And even ATMs have cameras. There are cameras everywhere. So you're being tracked, and I think we as a country just kind of have to be okay with that. You know? Just go, well, you know, there you go. Privacy is an illusion. Then again, so is security. But that's just my thoughts and opinions of it. Great show, Todd. Keep it going, man. Bye.
Hey, thanks for the call. And, you know, I guess we'll have to agree to disagree. And, of course, Apple's came out and said that, you know, this was not actually supposed to be happening. When you turned off the tracking feature, it was supposed to shut off, and it wasn't. So they're going to make a fix to it, and they're going to encrypt that media or encrypt the data from now on out. Irregardless, you know, I guess we know we're all being tracked, but just for the simple, and not always, to a certain extent. I know you live in New York, you probably got a camera on every street corner, but here in Honolulu, you know, it's not that pervasive. And obviously stores have their own security cameras and so forth, but I just don't think they're actively using that data to track me. If they are, then, you know, I'm going to end up in the news at some point. But anyway, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. And please call back in the show again. Okay, here's, I'm going to play one more, and then we're going to email, and we're going to bounce out of here. So here's the next hotline call.
Hey, Todd. This is Logan in Southwest Florida.
Hey, Logan.
I have in a local newspaper here a headline that a USS Arizona survivor, Vern Olson, well, he just recently passed away. In our local newspaper, he made headlines because he survived the Arizona. And he's going to be, he was 91 when he died.
Wow.
He's going to be interned, his ashes, in the Arizona National Memorial on, there off in Ford Island. Have you ever seen that ceremony? Can you speak about what goes on when they do that interment? Because I've been there to the memorial, and they have talked about it, but they never talked about the ceremonies or anything like that. So, anyway, thanks. Talk to you later.
Hey, thanks for the call. You know, I've heard about this, but generally what they do is for these ceremonies, the Admiral of Pearl Harbor has a private, I guess for whatever, it's a boat. It's a small boat that he can take out. And I think what they do is on these private ceremonies like this, I think they use the Admiral's boat to go over to Pearl Harbor before, or go over to the Arizona Memorial before the exhibit or before the park opens. They allow the family to come on, and they allow them to do the ceremony. I believe what they do is, I think they dump the ashes right into the Pearl Harbor above the top of the Arizona. I think that's what they do. There's no place where ashes, I don't think, are left. There's not like a place there where our urn is left or anything like that. So those are pretty private, and I've never attended one of those, but from things I've heard here, I think that's kind of how it goes down. So the family gets in, they have the Arizona Memorial to themselves, and they get out before the general public, before the memorial opens up to the general public. So I think that's kind of what happens, but if I find out anything more, I'll let you know. But yeah, these World War II vets, you know, they're fast leaving us. Many of them are, you know, like he was 91. My grandfather was 99 when he died, and so it's the greatest generation, and so it's but it's nice to see that he's going to come back and have his ashes spread over, basically, and rejoin his shipmates that are still interned there. All right, folks, looks like either I missed it or there was no email today, so we're done. And I've got one last voicemail to play on the next show, or if any more comes in, we'll play them in sequence. But thanks for everyone for following the show and being subscribed. Again, if you've got comments, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. And, of course, you can follow me on Twitter @geeknews. Be here Saturday for the Saturday Morning Tech Show. We have a couple of guests on. We'll talk tech. You can join me at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern. Or you can follow the Gadget Professor, Don Bain, or Gadget Professor. And all these shows, of course, are found here at geeknewscentral.com. It's been my pleasure to bring you the show again. My name is Todd Cochran, and we'll see you next time. Everyone take care and aloha. Ooh. Busy, busy, busy. Eh, not too bad. Finished in 1:12. About 2 minutes longer than I wanted to.